You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today let's talk about warrior awareness. Let's talk moving beyond situational awareness. Let's talk about much more than that. Let's talk about the Su-Egitu program, or also known as opening the sensorium. What does all that mean? Well, stay with me. All right, now during my while doing my twin studies of the archaeology of frontier rough and tumble combat, boxing, wrestling, all that fun stuff, and also primitive indigenous abilities, and continue to unearth tasty morsels of violent mayhem. And we put that out in our raw/black box program. And also notice whenever I say primitive, that's in scare quotes. I don't mean primitivism, subpar. No, actually, I think we might need to invert that interpretation and say there might be more wonderfulness here, and we shave it down to make it more civilized for us. But anyway, thus far, the material we present has just been physical expression, tactics, and the how-to, the cognitive side of the game, strategy, history, mindset, setting and stuff. But along the way, there have been many, many, many illuminating ideas in the areas of more esoteric nature. Yes, of course, scoutcraft and all that. But these maybe esoteric practices, we may loosely judge akin to what we think of as meditation or environmental immersion, awakening practices. And yet, in a sense, that doesn't go far enough. And that's a bit too slight skin surface analysis of that. These terms, meditation and the like, are more abstract Western constructs and do little to convey what these practices are truly like. Now, full disclosure, I practice this Su-Egitu practice myself 365 days of the year, rain or shine, and have found the benefits and revelations of paramount use to my life. Now, you may take that as a statement of crass salesmanship. Of course, Hatmaker would say that because he's trying to sell this to you. Or if you've ever met me personally, you may take it for exactly how I mean it. It's a frank statement of the subjective truth. I just, I mean what I say. So what exactly is this Su-Egitu program? First, what it is not, make sure we're clear on this. If you decide, oh, I'm going to give this a shot, it's non-martial arts or combat sports related. In the sense, if you're thinking, I need to have this so I can get out there and double my punch speed or whatever. So what I'm saying is also, it can be a much wider based appeal if you got someone who's got no interest in the fighting, the rough and tumble and all this. Still, pay attention. This might be for you. Now, with that said, the practices are all indigenous warrior based, and were used to temper the spirit, open the heart, expand the senses. Thusly, in a quite tangible meaning, this increases everyday situational awareness, which exactly is a warrior attribute, and is most definitely something to strive for. And yet, it goes far beyond situational awareness, as that term itself and the entire construct of situational awareness means just that. It is situational, that we turn up attentional intensity in some domains, and we dampen it or dull it down in others. Well, Su-Egitu awareness is trained to be always on. That's the point of it. A persistent multi-sensory antenna with you as perpetual receiver of information at the center of your subjective universe. Now, when you really dig into that statement, that's rather cool, man. And do not take that center of the universe as a metaphor. We have a support article on this and how it all relates to the concrete world of survival navigation. And that article is called Centers, Circles, and Related to All. Now, again, I'll provide a link to a text version of this discussion we're having right now. And that will also contain hypertext to these other articles I'm mentioning, because I'm going to be mentioning many because I want to make sure you understand there is scientific support for what's going on here. And that's, again, that's what we do with this. We resurrect these things. We test all these things and we may find out what holds water and what doesn't. If they do hold water, it's nice to find a physical mechanism for why they work as well as they do. And it makes it really move from the world of the esoteric to something really subtly, beautifully empirical. Now, the Su-Egitu is not a strenuous physical endeavor, not in the least, and yet it will train stress responses. The Su-Egitu is not scoutcraft, and yet it was considered the entry into perceptive scoutcraft. We will be releasing our frontier scoutcraft material here on down the line, and to be honest with you, the Su-Egitu program is the prerequisite for it, because if you cannot see, you cannot sense, you just can't do it. Or we'll use a quote from Zhang Ling from The Way of the General, quote, if a scout is not careful, it's the same as having no eyes, unquote. Absolutely true. You can have all the information in the world, but if you really do not know how to see, how to take it all in, well, there you go. So what is the Sua Keita? Is it situational awareness? Is it scoutcraft? Is it a series of sensory expanding exercises? Is it stress inoculator? Is it anxiety dampener? Is it a perspective widener? Is it breath control training? Is it vision training? Is it warrior philosophy? Is it warrior science? Well, hell, the answer to all those is yes. Now, it is an audio-visual course package. It's DVD, there's a print syllabi, and now there's support materials. There is also a guided podcast. You could call it a guided meditation. I don't really care for that word. It's meant to be a training wheel and throw off. Matter of fact, some of people have already, I think, we released the guided podcast version, I believe it was yesterday, and I've seen many, many people listen to it. I'm sure they're quite disappointed because the entire thing is conducted in the Comanche terminology that we use in the Sua Keita program, and only those privy to the program will understand what it means. So I'm sure there's sitting there listening to this 8 minutes of going, what the hell has he done here? What is this? Well, that explains it. If you run across the Sua Keita guided portion, you're going to realize, oh, it's only keyed into the syllabi and to those DVD materials for it to make sense. Of course, it is out there accessed at all because once you are in this material, I want you to be able to have, you know, grab it wherever you're at and go, make sure you can follow along with it. But again, like all things, we want you to get rid of that training wheel as quickly as possible and just be out there with your own cognitive self. This program details and leads you through a morning enlivening awakening practice culled from various indigenous traditions. And this takes a mere 8 minutes of your day for practice that can be carried forward. What we've done, we've taken many of these that have similarities. We've kind of mished and mashed them around and melded them and put them to seems to be a logical synergistic sequence to move forward. And, you know, it works wonderfully. See, my adopted tribe and frame of reference for the exercises and practices are Comanche. So I use the Comanche terminology throughout. All of these practices pop up in many traditions and under many names. Now, demonstrated in here in both the video and the audio is rock sitting. It's to kill fidgeting. We want to make sure when we do sit and we hit a posture, we want to hang on to it. We discuss spinal stacking, elongating, and lumbar checking. Then we take you through 12 cycles of something called Tomo Sua Keita, which is a breathing pattern to wake up that system. And it's not just breathing. It involves the entire body. And then we can move into an analysis of why empirical science confirms the indigenous method of inverted breath work. That is, we want to kick even breathing, box breathing to the curb. We hear so much about this, you know, make sure the breath is coming out even. Actually, the science doesn't support it. And the indigenous tradition said, no, 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 no. And there's some great science that says, well, no, that doesn't work at all. But you follow the old school version of it. The prescribed method is empirically verified to reduce stress. We're talking blood pressure can't tangibly go down. It will dampen anxiety, and you use the program itself to experience it for yourself. You can just listen to me and say, yeah, this works. You do the program, you're going to actually tangibly feel it. And again, if you go over, you follow the link over to the text version of this, I will provide some scientific articles. You can hyperlink and go to those if that floats your boat. So you can go, oh, man, just not blowing smoke. This is for real. From there, we move on to 5 exercises to widen the visual field. We're going to make sure, I know our eyes are wide awake and open all the time, but we're not always really paying attention or seeing everything that can be seen. These are specific 5 exercises from the indigenous tradition that were intent to do that before hunt, before battle, and meant to be done every day. We'll also provide a drill for olfactory sensitivity, one for tasting the air, and yes, I said tasting, and there's a really wonderful response called the Flamen Response, FLEHMEN, and again, I'm going to give you another, refer you back to the text version of this, hyperlink over and take a look at this. There's something absolutely fascinating about bringing on possibly a sixth sense for many of us. Even if some of us don't get all the way there, we do increase our ability to sense our environment by using this drill. We also provide a drill for increasing tactile awareness. Yes, of course, that's touch. And then we bring all the senses online for one resonating antenna of awareness. So again, we're getting them all moving in. Then from there, we move on to 6 eye exercises, really orbital exercises, to improve near and far focus and the orb mobility. Because as a hunter or as a still hunter, we don't want a lot of movement. We need to make sure that the eyes are doing the work, not the entire body. And again, we also discuss while we're doing this, why the gaze is so important. Now, this is actually so much fascinating. Initially, I thought this had to be some piffle about why they were so specific about the indigenous folks were so specific about which way the gaze was moving at particular times. And then it come across some wonderful scientific research. And again, I'll provide the link to it, but there's something called the link, go to the Way of the Warrior, look up and lengthen, and you actually get into some wonderful work to go, oh man, everything had a reason behind it. And it's just not some strange thing that someone said at one time. We then proceed to three vital breathwork exercises, the 4-7-8 preparatory breath. Then we talk about stack and pack, because we're going to move into CO2 inoculation. Now, this is all heavily influenced. Again, it's all indigenous-based from the outside. I mean, if you are a free diver, have any interest in doing any sort of interaction with the water, increasing your breath holds, whatever, this is the way to go. Then you have to just, you know, kick the discredited Wim Hof stuff to the curb. Let's look at the Ama and the Moken people. The people are actually doing these long breath holds long before anything was fashionable in the universe. These people are doing it. So this, what this is going to do is increase your facility for feeling comfortable while you're doing this. We're not going for that, hold my breath as long as I can. It is also a bit of a CO2 inoculation. It's also learning how to handle stress, and it's nothing scary about it. It's a very relaxed way to learn it. From there on, we move into what's called hook breathing, which can reset a stress system lickety-split. And when we're saying stress system, we're talking about, let's say you just did a series of sprints. You've done a bit of bag work. You just had a good hard roll, and you come out with a huff and puff. Usually we have to do that until we get recycled into a reset. Hook breathing can really chop that down in half. If you do it long enough, you might be able to get down to a thirds of what it normally takes. And also hook breathing is that if you are a free diver or you are a water enthusiast, it can also prevent you ever having shallow water blackouts. So we're talking, it's an absolutely amazing way to rebreathe and set the system. Even though we're talking about rebreathing, it's actually resetting blood pressure. And it's a stunning little practice that just takes 3 cycles. And then also we will then conclude that the sitting session with 3 dual cycles of filling and relaxing breath. We'll let you have a self-prescribed benediction. We'll describe how to do that, maybe how to select your own, and we provide something you can use if you want, because it is less, it's not spiritually focused, it's cognitively focused, but you got to find the one that floats you and moves you through the day. And then we rise into Canabito, which reminds us to carry forward what we have just built. It's not meant to be a practice that we do, walk off, and then we forget about it. We're trying to maintain some aspects of this alive and awakening process. And again, this entire program, Suaketu, emphasizes extrospection over introspection, meaning although there is some sitting involved, this is not meditation. There are specific breathing methods involved. These are not exercises, so to speak. The Suaketu is not about withdrawal to inward realms. It's not about forgetting the self. It is not introspection. Extrospection is the key. Suaketu and so many indigenous traditions are diametrically opposed to this navel gazing and inward journeys. Now, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade. If that's what you enjoy, sitting there and gazing, trying to find the third eye that floats your boat, fine. It's just that cognitive science seems to show, particularly in CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, REBT therapy and such, the more we meditate on the self, the more we think about ourselves, the more we kind of cycle down on our own problems, the more anxious and anxiety we feel. Now, we're not trying to say this is be a cure-all. It's reminding you, get out of your head, man, because that's also where the world is, and that all opens up, moving you from situational awareness to always awareness, because you're always looking and seeing the world like an old master, a Renaissance painter. You're seeing it like a hunter. You're seeing it like a scout. You're seeing it like a child who's seeing things for the first time and wants to drink in everything. The Suaketu is an expansion of the world via simple yet tangible sensory awareness practices. It's an expansion of awareness that is conducive to both the wise alert warrior and the wise and appreciative human being. And it kind of opens up if you're an artist of any sort whatsoever. I don't care if it's in music and painting and drawing or what have you. Just you start seeing and bringing in more detail. That's always a plus. It is a grounding and being in the center by awakening to the center. The Suaketu takes no more than 8 minutes out of one's morning, but the results are tangible and measurable. Yeah, I know. This all sounds esoteric, but this is concrete as combat training. I promise you that. I pondered long and hard. Do I want to release on January 1st people doing their New Year's resolution? Shouldn't it be some hard-charging, fighty thing? I thought about it, but I thought, you know what? This is the foundation at all, in my opinion. You've got to do this. I guarantee the rest of the black box material this year is nothing but violence and mayhem, and I'm excited about all this stuff. But this is probably the most exciting to me because it's been so beneficial. Yeah, I'm confident that a mere week with the practice will reveal the validity of his method. Suaketu program is also the foundation for that upcoming Frontier Scout Craft program. Suaketu well, you're not going to be able to follow along with these. You're not going to see what we're talking about when we're putting these things together. Now, again, this material, the Suaketu program, is already available to the raw subscribers, Black Box Brotherhood, for the deep discount. I mean, they're going to get this already. This is your January Blastoff crew, and I appreciate you. Not in the Brotherhood, but Intrigued. Well, you know, follow the link and have a look, see what all the benefits are there. If not, if you just like this single idea of what we're talking about in the Suaketu program, again, I'll provide a link here. You can go over there and have a look. And again, the material will get you deep in the weeds detail about why these mechanisms work so well. We'll give you the follow along. Printed outline. You also have the DVD material where you move through the lecture series. Actually, you will have a seated version of it in there. And of course, there's the podcast audio version as well. Anyway, it's a lot of noise about what from the outside of someone going, is that guy just sitting there moving his arms occasionally and making huffing and puffing sounds? They go, yeah, but there's way more going on than we realize. Deeply grateful to this tradition. Anyway, if you're intrigued, hit those links and take care of yourself, crew, and Happy New Year. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musics.